This feels much better. I like being
okay
closer to my co-host.
Aww.
Yeah, this is nice.
You guys belong together.
Yeah, it's kind of yin and yang, or I don't know what else. What's the other things?
You shouldn't have said
Omega.
Alpha and Omega? That means like we're everything then.
The beginning of the end.
Jason Cross and Carl Zardella are all.
The beginning of themselves.
Wait, is that the name of the podcast now?
There's no room.
Isn't it, Carlos?
In this room with your guys' ego.
Sorry. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, let's start the podcast. Everybody, welcome to Play This Podcast. I'm Carl Sodella with my co-host here, as usual, Jason Cross.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Pretty good. We've been all coming back from a break.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. We had to eat turkey and be all Thanksgiving-ish.
Yum.
But we're back in action, and I'm really excited to be here. We have two really cool guests. And before we get started, let's introduce them. To my immediate left is Amber Bauman.
Howdy.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. I'm glad it's Friday.
It is Friday. Oh my goodness.
It's the best.
I think I just forgot that until just now.
We usually do this on Thursdays, so we don't.
Oh, that's right.
It's got us all messed up.
So you are associate editor. Assistant editor? What's your title?
I believe it's associate editor.
Super editor?
Yeah, well, super that editor. Too, for sure.
I'll just go with super editor.
Yeah.
Super editor extraordinaire.
Yeah.
And also my Windows buddy.
Yes.
Windows Phone 8.
Yes.
People.
I'm an advocate.
We are like spreading the gospel.
Yes.
So, and I recently got the 8X because I used yours a lot.
Right, and you like it so much. Yeah.
Anyways, what is the best thing you played this week?
Well, I'm obsessed with the BBC's new Sherlock Holmes, which we'll talk about.
Oh, yeah. That's in season 3 now, right?
They finished 3 seasons, and they're supposed to be coming out with the 4th next year.
Okay, cool.
Which I'm eagerly waiting for.
I thought it was 2, and they're coming out with 3.
Well,
maybe you're right.
One of those is correct.
No, I feel like maybe you're right. It's 2 episodes of 3.
Yeah, because the episode's really
short.
3
episodes, and it's,
they're long episodes. We'll talk about it later.
We'll talk about that and another thing that you're watching. And also, we have with us Alex C.
Yes.
Cochiluva.
That's good enough for me.
I'm just going to just go really off the rails with it.
I like the accent you.
Cochiluva. And C. I'm not being mean there, or dick.
I don't think so. I'm not offended.
Okay, good. What's the best thing you played?
I'm addicted to Natural Selection 2.
Oh, right. You mentioned that a couple weeks ago to me, and you're
it's
really excited about
still
it.
Still addicting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And you have another thing that you brought to my attention.
I do.
Which we'll talk about in the show as well.
Yeah. You can tease it. I'm sorry. I forgot to tease that one for you.
There's something teased.
You like it.
That I like. Oh, this already sounds dirty. Go, Jason Cross. What else is on the show?
We're going to talk about more guitar stuff like we did last time with this online app called SoundSlice.
Yeah, you're becoming like a virtuoso guitar person, right?
Not
now.
At all, but okay. we'll let everybody continue to believe that.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of cool movies I watched, Marmon Call and The Descendants, and this really cool new iOS game called Space Team. You want to talk about a Windows Phone game, Dragon's Blade.
Yep. Hey, there's a Windows Phone 8 game that I want to talk about.
We should talk about that.
And a sort of second screen app called Into Now.
Yep.
And besides the Sherlock Holmes thing, we're going to talk about Ringer and besides Natural Selection. And we'll start with this because you can't hardly contain yourself.
You're busting.
Oh, my goodness.
Skrillex Quest.
But it's not my topic, so I'll give it to Alex.
But I'm going to let you talk about it because you played it too. Because I made too. You.
So what is – I mean, I know what it is. So
it's starting to go viral as of today.
Tell the listeners what Skrillex Quest
is. Wait, is it new too?
It came out yesterday.
So we're officially breaking it on this
– November.
We're breaking on this podcast.
No, because by the time they hear it
– It's literally –
Jason.
It's going – okay.
We're breaking it on this podcast.
Okay, yeah. Okay, you heard it here first,
just make it
guys.
Here first a week later. All right, so basically it's Skrillex – the music guy.
The dubstep guy.
The dubstep guy.
Oh, Lord.
He hired Jason Oda, who's known for viral marketing and kind of flash games and things, to make a Zelda-like game in your browser. And it is awesome. Basically, a piece of dust gets on a cartridge of Skrillex Quest.
That looks just like Legend of Zelda. Gold cartridge.
Old NES cartridge. Old school. And then all of a sudden the game starts glitching out, the whole world starts falling apart, and so your mission as the hero is to go fight all the glitches and beat the game.
It's super cool. It's so simple. It actually, the graphics look a little look like that Sword and Sorcery. Is that right?
Yeah.
The EP thing?
Sword and Sorcery.
Yeah.
Very blocky.
It's very blocky, simple characters. And I mean,
like early 3D animation looking, but it works very well with it.
And all the enemies are basically like these big blocks of glitches.
Yeah.
And all the graphics in the background are like, you know, 8-bit games, Nintendo games.
Yeah. I heard they actually use glitches from original NES titles.
That makes sense.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
kind of a throwback.
It's awesome and it's quick. And like we both played it. And what percentage did you get?
I think I got like 28%. It's horrible. I did horrible. I thought I was like, oh, I'm doing so good. I finished the game. I thought that was the point. The point is completion.
Yeah.
Because
you have a certain amount of time for each like section, and then whatever you get in that kind of...
Finding treasures.
Yeah, it gives you the overall goal at the end.
And is there like dubstep music in the background?
The entire time, it's all Skrillex.
Wow.
The whole time. And it works, though. Like,
it fits.
I like it.
Okay.
But in the game, it works awesome.
Right.
And that's what I was going to say. There's two points I have about it. One, it's really interesting to have music in a game that's not just like video game music. And because I know some of these songs. People know these songs.
Yeah,
and
these
have
are
that
not,
kind of,
none of these were made specifically for Skrillex Quest. These
no, it's cut up. They're like cut up. Like,
cut
you
from
know,
the albums, yeah.
Yeah, and cut to fit the things. You find find an item, and it's just a little moment of his song. But the way that it just, I don't know, it feels like kind of, it just feels great to have an actual song in there, or a few songs. There's a lot of songs. And then when it gets to a really dangerous part, you know, like there's a lot of enemies
changes
around
it
you,
up a little
changes
bit.
It up.
It's definitely, you feel it.
Yeah, you feel it.
Change in music.
I really think it's masterful.
It kind of turned me around on dubstep a little bit.
Okay, because I was under the impression dubstep was only for car commercials now, because that's where I get most of it.
Now it's for viral video games, Flash games as well.
The other thing that I really loved about it is because it breaks up and apart in like little old Nintendo games, it reminded me of Game Genie. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember that too?
Yeah.
You would actually take it for our younger listeners. You would take a Nintendo cartridge. Actually, for our younger listeners, Nintendo. you plug that cartridge into another like adapter, and then that would go into your Nintendo system.
It's like a Frankenstein setup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you would literally input codes in, and it would do things simply like give you more lives or whatever.
Right.
But then you could just put in random codes, and random crap would happen.
Yeah.
And it was like, I remember one time I had like Mario, his feet would go backwards and like, you know,
things
would float around the sky. I mean, one whole level would just disappear.
They added that on in the game. And the game is funny too.
Yeah. And that game reminded me of all that kind of stuff.
It's so good.
So go get it.
It's
free. It's a Flash game.
You heard it here
first. Skrillex.com.
It doesn't save though. You have to play it until you beat it.
Yeah. It took me maybe 20, 25 minutes and I took a break. Doing work, of course.
Sure.
Crap.
Sure.
Well, you were doing work because you were researching stuff.
That's
for the
right.
Podcast,
exactly
right?
The point.
For this show. Good job for doing work.
Yes.
What else should we talk about next?
My next favoritest thing is Space Team, which I was just turning on.
Oh, yeah. We should talk about that because I filmed you earlier.
Yeah. This is great. So Space Team is this, it's a coder from BioWare or something who went to do his own independent game development stuff. And he was going to do a bigger game and said, no, that's too ambitious. I'm just going to do this little scaled back thing. It's pretty hilarious. It's a game about shouting at your friends, basically.
You're all good at that.
I'm already getting one over.
Yeah, so
you're on a ship.
All right, so it's iOS only.
Yep.
iPad and iPhones. It's free, except there's some in-app purchases if you want. The idea is you're all on a ship that is kind of falling apart and trying to outrun an exploding star, and you each have these randomized panels, right? The description of the game is, do you like pushing buttons and shouting at your friends? Do you like discharging clip-jawed clip-jawed flux-trunions? If you answered yes or no, then you might have what it takes to be on a space team. The idea is, like, there's all these randomized panels that have made-up names that are randomly strung together, these, like, Star Trek-y sounding things, like inverse plasma flexitron.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That. And they're all toggle switches or buttons, or some of them are dials and stuff like that. And you just get a random selection of them, and so do the people you play with. You have to play with other people. You cannot play
now. Can you play two players?
You can play two.
Okay,
two to four. Right.
Okay, cool.
Two to four people you can play. You get on the same network together, or you connect via Bluetooth, and on each person's screen, it puts a little instruction like, you know, set magna flexitron to four. And if you don't have that panel, which you usually don't, one of your friends has it, and you just have to tell them. You have to go set the magna flexitron to four, and then they have to go press that button.
And you have to be able to say that word, too.
Right. So that's part of the fun, is that these are like weird-sounding things.
The words are the same or not? They change.
They change all the time. They're random.
That's
jumbles of spacey sounding sci-fi.
That's why you couldn't explain that other one earlier in the description.
I can't even read that word.
Yeah.
The video I saw, it looked hectic and a lot of fun.
It's really hectic. So all that's happening, and meanwhile, your ship is falling apart. So sometimes the panels like fall off and swing down and held together by one screw, and you can pin it back up.
So what's the end game?
I don't know.
Dying.
I think you're just it's one of those.
Oh, wait, all your friends hating you.
Like, this is going home sad.
Yeah, make everybody mad at each other.
Yes.
Yeah, so why don't you engage the Flexitron's plasma ray?
Yeah,
idiot.
I said yeah. So you have a certain amount of time to do each one, and then you just take more damage, and you know if you blow up, you die. If you get enough of them right, you go to the next sector.
So
right?
There are
you just
sectors.
Go to hyperspace. You go to the next level, and it gets harder.
It reminded me of a first person FTL.
It's a little bit of first-person FTL, or I can't remember the name of the thing where you're all Starship captains. You each have your own.
Yeah, we talked about in this podcast.
Yeah,
I don't
remember the name of that. So it's a little bit that. You yell at each other a lot, which is fun. It's hard to be organized. It gets crazy in that there'll be things like the translator's messed up, so one of the names will just be all these symbols. So you'd be like, the thing with the picture of the bird and then the thing.
Oh,
you know?
It's almost like a little bit of, I don't say Pictionary, or something like, you know, like it messes like with...
There'll be like an incoming asteroid, and then only one person will get the warning. And so you all have to shake your phone to avoid it or take more damage. So you're like, oh, there's an asteroid. Everybody shake it. Everybody has to shake their phones.
When I was filming these guys doing it earlier, there was like four people, right?
Or yeah. See that.
Oh, that's what you guys.
We were all yelling at each other about.
Yeah. I was saying it was the nerdiest video I've ever taken in my life because as you guys were playing, you like got to the next sector, like you realized you were like loud in the middle of the office.
Yeah.
And you had to like go to the lounge, but you didn't stop playing.
No.
You just kept playing as you walked to the lounge.
Yeah.
And just yelling out commands.
Yeah.
That video will be up online somewhere. You'll see.
I'll look forward to that. I'm gonna make my girlfriend download it. So like, I know. Make her yell things at me.
Do that.
I'm wondering how the two-player thing, because I was thinking that same thing, like, me and my girlfriend do it, and then all of a sudden, like, why did you, you know.
Yeah, so Nate,
arguments.
Nate was playing with his girlfriend, and he's like, it works fine two-player, it's a lot of fun. The only problem was, like, when it gets fast enough and hectic enough, she would, like, kind of panic and forget to yell out the instructions.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so she would do her thing, and then something would go, and she'd be, like, running out of time and forget to go, do this thing. Like, you have to...
It's part of the game, though. Yeah. I think that's
you have to engage.
The whole game is yelling at the other people.
You have to engage. With the thing?
Played at social gatherings.
Yeah.
Social skills builder.
All right, what's next?
Let's talk about Sherlock.
Okay, Sherlock.
So good.
I like Sherlock.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah,
I think in many other things.
First two seasons.
Probably, yeah,
they just put the second season up. I think.
Yeah, and each episode is like an hour and a half long, and it's just a really, really well done series.
Yeah, I have two words for you. No, I don't have many words. I don't know how many words.
Yeah,
it's Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency.
Ooh.
Yes or no? No.
No.
Okay.
Wait, that rings a bell.
So it's BBC. It's also a BBC show.
Okay.
It's very in the same lines of Sherlock.
Sure.
It's based on a Hitchhiker, Douglas Adams book.
Right.
The guy who did Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah. Right.
And it's canceled, but it's out there somewhere. I just implore you to go watch it if you like Sherlock.
Did it get canceled or do they just stop doing them?
I don't know. They're not doing them, so I'm just sad.
Well, canceled is like they wanted to keep making them, and somebody said no.
Where did the series end?
I don't know. I don't know.
You know how
the BBC does some weird scheduling with stuff.
I mean, they all the time, like a long-running show is five seasons for them.
Right.
That's scandalously long. Yeah,
to
most
the
of
point.
Them are like three seasons.
Yeah, Sherlock has three episodes for two seasons, right?
Right, but the episodes are an hour and a half, so it's a little different. Like, you get to something like the IT Crowd, where it's three seasons, and each episode is a half an hour, and it's only 18 episodes. You know, it's like three seasons, six episodes a season. It's not enough IT Crowd.
Yeah, Sherlock's more like a mini series. They're like,
that's what their commercials.
They've got to be 2 hours long.
Yeah, I think Dirk Gently's an hour each too. So.
Okay.
And I think there's only five episodes of that. Anyways, look that up. But Sherlock is great.
It's amazing.
And what do you think about the new TV series?
I haven't seen it yet because I can't bring myself to watch the new series because of how much I like the BBC version. So I know I'll be disappointed.
I felt the same way because I was like, all right, so BBC does their
such a great
like modern Sherlock Holmes in the modern day, and it's awesome. And
so
of course.
Good.
The first thing that has to happen is they have to just do the same thing in the U.S., just like The Office or something.
Oh, yeah.
So I was thinking that, and I watched it, and it's not, which is the best. The
right.
best thing about it is it's not like The Office where they just go like, it's the American version of
right.
that. The only thing it has in common is it's modern day and it's Sherlock Holmes.
No, I was excited about it before I saw the BBC version. Right. And then after the BBC version, I liked it so much.
My girlfriend and I were huge fans of the... We just call it the Benedict Cumberbatch one because his name is so fun to say.
One of his castmates was interviewed and said that it's the only name more ridiculous than Sherlock Holmes is Benedict nice. Cumberbatch,
yeah,
and it's
true.
Kind of one of those.
Yeah, the way they do the graphics in that too, when he's like looking at things, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, I was actually sad when we got to the last episode. I didn't want to watch it because there weren't going to be any more, and my fella was like, "Oh well, we can just go back and watch the first episode again." And I was like, "Great, let's do it." Yeah. And he looked at me and he was like, "I was kidding. We shouldn't do that." And I was like, "I wasn't kidding."
You're like, yes,
it sounds great. I would watch it right now.
Watch Dirk Gently. You'll get a little of that same kind of oomph from it.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. And ABC, I think, Sherlock? Elementary, they call it.
Yeah, it's Johnny Lee Miller.
Is that on Hulu? I think it should be
on
Hulu.
Sure
it is. Yeah. It is. And I think it's CBS, and I think they don't do Hulu, but you can watch them on their site.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Or something
CBS.com.
They're above you.
Yeah, but they do have the episode. You can see
them. I know, that's
it's crashy a lot of the time.
It is. Well, just in general, it's so funny how if you're not Hulu or Netflix, you're like, maybe I won't go to that website and look at the video.
Right.
Because you're like, I don't know what the experience is going to be like at all.
Yeah.
Going to PC World and Mac World at Tech Hive, because they're going to be great.
I think they've got them on like Hulu, and it just links you off to the site.
That's so sneaky.
I really hate that.
But
they're good. I was very skeptical, and they're good, and it's different, and he plays a different Sherlock Holmes, and it's like very different cases. I think they're on episode about 6 or 7, and they haven't introduced Moriarty yet, which is like...
Interesting.
Are they going to do that? Is they saving that for the end of the season?
Maybe.
Side note, Moriarty from the movie, though, is really good. That movie with what's his name?
Come on, Robert Downey Jr.
Better
than the Moriarty than in the BBC version because he was fantastic.
They're just different.
They're very different.
But the one in the movie is good.
Yeah.
Am I
holding the bag here? Really?
I don't think I've seen it yet.
Okay.
I saw the first one, but not the second.
I didn't see the second one yet.
Okay. Yeah. He was really good in the second one. Let's talk about another Netflix thing, which is this weird movie, Marwyn Call.
Marwyn Call.
Because I started watching it because you gave me the link, and I was just really depressed. So please tell me why it gets better. Please tell me why it gets better, or that it gets better.
You got to set up what it's about because it's the weirdest thing. So it's
and quickly because it's
depressing. I've heard of this before. So
all right, it's this guy who, when he was leaving a bar one night, got just like totally beat up by these younger guys. He's to the point where they beat him into a coma, and his own sort of therapy for kind of dealing with this after now that you know he's physically better and everything is that he made this fake village of like dolls and stuff. Like
yeah,
he builds
like
all these houses and
this.
He makes all these little dolls of like sort of G.I. Joe size figures and stuff like that. The village is called Marwyn Call, and it's a portmanteau of like. Not Mary, Marcy or something, and Wendy and something else. It's like it's three names or something. But it's a made-up. It's supposed to be in somewhere in Europe. And he's got this whole story about his alter ego in here as this World War II pilot who gets shot down and is in this village of Marwyn Call where he runs this bar. And he's made this whole – he tells this whole story like as he goes and he sets up all these scenes and makes very, very detailed like clothing and models and all this other stuff for all these – like dolls and buildings and stuff that he has, and he takes these really, really great photographs of them, and that's like how he spends all his time, all the day.
So he's recording them by the pictures, not really like video. He's not like making like a movie out of it.
No,
it's just
no,
really just pictures.
Just pictures, and no words or anything like that. And he got discovered by this photographer guy, and then somebody came to do this documentary about it and stuff. And he's eventually done. They showed his stuff at an art museum in New York. And
oh, that's good.
You know,
I'm just so happy there's like a happy ending to it because it starts off so
sad. There's no real ending.
This guy gets beat up really bad.
Yeah, he kind of keeps it. Kind of doesn't end in the sense that like the movie ends, but it's like he's still making this stuff. He's had his show, but you don't really find out really how well it went or if he keeps doing other shows or anything like that. He was really nervous about going there. It's just this really, really weird thing. But what's amazing is that this guy, who's not an artist in the classical sense, he has no training or anything, just picked up this camera and started taking a whole million pictures. And I mean, to the point where the light meter is busted on his camera and he just takes a picture. And if he comes back and they're like underexposed, he just goes, like 2 weeks later, he gets the pictures back from the processors, and it's like, oh, that was underexposed. And then he just goes and takes, sets up the whole scene and takes more pictures, right? That's,
you know what happens?
But they're amazing. The pictures are incredible.
People go through like trauma and stuff like that, and some amazing stuff comes out of it. Even just like poverty, extreme poverty or whatever, like situations. I mean, Nirvana was born out of like Aberdeen, Washington, which was the most depressing like little town. Yeah. And like the most amazing rock came out of that. So that's an interesting, you know, analogy. But I'm just saying, like,
that Nevermind came out. Kurt Cobain was sleeping under a bridge.
Yeah. But like, well, he took this thing and he made something really interesting and artful out of it. So I'll go ahead and finish the movie now. Thank you, Jason.
It's just so like the bad ending. It doesn't get any more depressing than sort of that beginning part.
And then he gets into another coma. Yeah.
And, if you need to take a break, you know, you can just go look at kittens on the like the live kitten webcam or something.
There are cats on the internet. Let's talk about one more Netflixing or whatever. You were going to put The Descendants.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to talk about a web video. So what was that?
Oh, so that was the other movie I've watched over. I mean, we watched so many movies and stuff over like Thanksgiving break, but these are the couple I wanted to bring up.
And that's the one I haven't seen it yet.
Because
it's so hard to see because like if you go to Can I Stream It, which we talked about before, you'll see that you can buy it almost anywhere for download, but there's no, it's not on Netflix, it's not on Hulu, it's not for streaming on like Amazon. You can't rent it. You can only purchase it on, so
it's weird.
So annoying.
We
I used
these...
HBO Go, but that doesn't really help you because you have to have HBO to have
HBO. Yeah. There's all these weird contracts that we talked about like a couple episodes ago where you know, it's available someplace and not in the others, and it's because the big wigs at the top are like,
well, everywhere that you can get The Descendants, and I don't even think it's available on HBO Go anymore, everywhere you can get it, and it's available a lot of places, it's only for purchase. So you got to go shell out your like $14 or whatever to buy the download. So
I know. If you don't know if
but
you like it.
But this was the George Clooney movie about, you know, he's in Hawaii and his family's going through this like weird trauma with his wife being in a coma, and he's got
comas.
All this land to sell.
Another uplifting.
Like
we could have done a coma segue, by the way.
It's not really a sad movie. That's the setup. You don't get to know her. You don't feel like bad for her or anything.
Yeah,
you never
really meet her.
Yeah, but it's just this story about his whole family and what they learn as they go through this thing about selling all this land while his wife's in a coma and everything, and his kids. It's really hard to say what it's about without kind of spoiling what it's about.
Okay,
you know. So, but it's worth watching. It's
but I guess I have to. I guess I have to buy it. What is this? What we're talking about?
I don't know where you're going to be able to find it that you don't.
Blockbuster.
Oh, what's that?
Is there an actual video store ever at all anymore?
Well, you know what I do is here in San Francisco, I end up going to Rasputin, which is basically our local, you know, DVD place.
Olay Video
or music, and I just get like DVDs are like $4 sometimes. So like
they have good deals.
So look for it there or. Go to Can I Stream It and see if like maybe now it's starting to stream somewhere or something, but it's worth watching. I don't know if it's worth like paying to own the digital download forever,
because
I'm not gonna watch it like 10 times.
Someday we're gonna have an episode, just a themed episode about digital streaming media, and like we're gonna get to the bottom of
this. We gotta get a lawyer in here.
Having such grill. A disappointing Netflix, you know, I'm nonplussed with Netflix lately. Just the selection is just poor.
Ever since they lost the
Stars
deal.
Thing.
They lost so many things.
But and then we talked about Hulu Plus a couple weeks ago, but that's another discussion. Well, we're still on the idea of shows in general.
Sure, yeah.
There's a show that over the holiday break I was visiting my brother, and he turned me on to this, which is cool. Also a gamer. It's called Game Center CX. It's been going on for a long time in Japan.
Okay.
I think it's just a television show, but it's also on the web. And it was it's most recently been translated, so there's a lot of, you know, episodes captioned. And I guess people have been watching it in the past, kind of a cult hit. But basically there's this one guy, and it's called Game Center because it's kind of based on the idea of the old arcades and stuff. They're called Game Centers in Japan. This guy who's very charismatic and very, like, always smiling and laughing, he tries to beat a video game, an old school video game, mainly like Nintendo games.
Right.
And he doesn't leave the room until it's over. Like, he can't leave until it's beat.
What about bathroom breaks?
Yeah, he gets those.
Okay.
But then what's really funny about it, he's got a little group around him. And so when he like is yelling at the screen and stuff and doing the things you would do when you know, are failing badly, like they laugh and they're having fun with him. So even if he's like really depressed and he can't beat this game, it's really fun watching it. And he's not like the guy like on YouTube that's just screaming at the TV. It's not like that. He's like literally trying to figure out the strategies. One guy will come in and bring him a little book, like pro tips, and he'll find the warp zones.
Oh, I see.
And he's also just his charisma. he's so charismatic, you know. Mm-hmm. And at some point in it, for some reason, he has these little like cooling packs that he puts on his face. And so he's just sitting there with like four cooling packs on his face, and he's just like trying to beat Ghosts and Goblins. Oh my goodness, it's great.
Okay,
the episodes are an hour. Like just straight up for even online, they're an hour, so you have to deal with that.
Yeah,
pretty long.
You've got a lot of time like in your day. Something to fill it.
But they're based on like eight, sometimes seven, 8 hours of gameplay or more.
At least, yeah, because they're just trying to beat these games.
And some of these games are like, there's no continues. I mean, you know, like it's like four or five lives. And to watch him have to start a game over.
Broken spirit.
It's like my spirit breaks for him. It already happened. So it's called Game Sensor CX. It's gamingcx.com. If you're a gamer or just like watching old school stuff, you'll like that.
Makes you rethink playing games for a living, huh?
Well, you know what's interesting, and I'm glad you brought that up, Alex, because my takeaway from this is actually I feel like I'm kind of a wuss. Like, I'm like, I used to be a badass when it comes to games. Like, we would spend that much time beating a game, and now I'm like, yeah, it's too hard. I'll put it on normal or easy mode. No, I should just man up. I'm going to be a better gamer.
No, I don't like, nope.
No?
Yeah. I'm not going with that.
You're not going with that?
Because here's, but then we all got like jobs and stuff. I don't have that kind of time.
I know, but there is some special kind of satisfaction to watch when he does do that.
But when there were so many fewer games and you would get two or three games a year and you would
spend a lot of time with it.
Yeah, and you're going to spend a lot of time with it. And I was okay with the idea that I'm going to play level one 97 times because I have to keep continuing to try and get past this game. Because
it cost my mom like $50 and that's the only game I'm getting.
Yeah. Yep. Or I saved up. Yeah, I saved up car wash money forever to get this game. But, you know, these days there's a lot more games. It's a lot easier to get, you know, a lot, you know, more games for like 99 cents.
I bought 10 games at one time over the Christmas break. Thanksgiving break. Steam sale. GOG.com sale. It's ridiculous. I don't even know what I bought. I'm looking forward to Christmas break to figure out what I bought.
You're not even going to play like...
Oh! Yeah. Another segue I should mention. I think it's over already, but the Double Fines indie bundle thing.
Oh, yeah. I think... I don't know if it...
We should have mentioned that. Came to like a... Last time.
Maybe over by the time
this comes out. Last time. Was it not? Because of the skipped week.
Skipped week. Anyways, I think you can still buy it. I don't know if I want to mention it or not.
The Humble THQ bundle is still going on, and that'll be going on for another 2 weeks.
Okay.
So,
but just go to doublefine.com, and you'll see there's a bundle there.
They've got this. Cool. Yeah, they've got this weird thing where, we should mention what it is, but anyways.
It's because so cool.
They have this thing where what they do to determine new game ideas is they have this thing where they take a two-week break from the games we're working on. They pitch all the people who work at Double Fine like pitch all these game ideas. They take the ones that they think are the best ideas and they make little prototypes of them, and then they kind of vote on which ones were great games, and those are the games that they're going to make.
Yeah.
Right. This time they opened it up to the public and turned it into like a Humble Bundle thing where you could pay money. I think you had to pay.
Well, first you voted. First you voted on the games.
You had to pay to vote, though.
Yeah, yeah. But you could pay anything you wanted. Yeah.
I think anything of a dollar or more, something. Yeah. You get to vote on which. Like pitch, they all like just spoke into a camera for like 10 seconds. Here's what my game idea is. And they all voted. They picked the top four, and those are the ones that they're going to make the prototypes of.
Right. And then you can buy that bundle. And I already bought it.
When you buy the bundle, you'll get the prototypes.
Yep.
And then they'll have, I think they're going to pick the one that they make the real game of. And then I think you get that too, right?
I think so.
That's part of the bundle.
And here's the cool thing is you also get part of the bundle. You get the early version of Costume Quest. Which came out of that?
Yeah, the original prototype.
Yeah, it came out of that project where they could just do whatever game they wanted.
Yeah,
and a couple other little games too. So, anyways,
I like those Double Fine guys.
I think you can still buy it. So that's why I didn't want to know if I should mention it.
Like all the other Humble Bundles, it's partially goes to charity.
Yeah,
and you get to pick how much goes to charity.
There's a little slider, and you can like give some to Child's Play and give some to Double Fine. So,
yeah,
I love them. Although my buddy Brad's game didn't get made. Yeah. It was like these two. Like sumo, like Godzilla kind of monsters fighting each other.
Oh. Maybe next time.
Maybe next time, Brad.
I would play that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
There's some cool game ideas in there, though.
Let's not forget Ringer, because I want to do that now, because I'm going to forget it. I feel like I will.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about Ringer for a minute?
The Ringer, yeah, sure.
I don't know what that is.
Wait, do you not want to talk about it?
No, I do.
It's
I
on
just
your
feel
list.
Chagrined. Oh, so it's the Sarah Michelle Gellar nighttime soap opera drama that just came out on Netflix.
Oh, you don't want to own up to it then?
I'm afraid of, you know, negative feedback.
Backlash. We're a friendly podcast here.
So I should clarify that I did watch One Life to Live, and then they canceled it, and I've had a big soap opera, giant dramatic hole in my watching pattern.
Okay.
And so they finally released Ringer on Netflix. Netflix, so now I can watch Sarah Michelle Gellar play murderous twins. Because, of course, we have to have her playing twins.
Yeah,
one of whom has faked her death so that she can disappear and blame her sister for some sort of nefarious wrongdoings. And it's just hilarious fun.
Is it basically just a soap opera? Or?
It's like a nighttime soap opera. Okay. You can't do stuff like that that's so dramatic all the time and not have it like edge straight into soapy territory.
Is this a like a network show that's now on Netflix? Or
I think it was CW.
I think you're right.
CW, yeah, I think it was CW.
And you know, they make fine programming.
I know, right?
Wait, are they doing the Arrow show based on Green Arrow?
I think so.
It looks
so
terrible.
That's about?
So terrible.
It is.
But you're going to watch it.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No.
See, I'm enjoying the terribleness of this. I'm kind of like.
I think CW does good pitches and then they don't follow through.
And there's like this whole portion where they're like boating and like the one sister disappears. And
I remember seeing the premise and it sounded pretty cool. I don't know.
It's like the fakest shot of her coming out of the water that I've ever seen.
I was going to watch it. I'm not going to lie.
They really.
I saw it on Netflix.
I'm enjoying it.
They really need to.
You know, take it for what it is.
Blame it on my
embrace the campiness.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah. I am embracing the campiness.
No, I mean, they need to when they make it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Intentionally make it campier.
Yeah. And I was disappointed that it got canceled or isn't continuing after the first season. But now my best friend and I have a standing date. Like, you know, every Friday or Saturday we'll get together for dinner and then like watch a couple of episodes together.
You guys can start some Ringer fanfic or something. Keep it going. Oh, keep it alive.
Yeah.
God bless fanfiction.
Well, you know, we're Buffy fans too.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
I got her turned on to Buffy. So now we're doing Ringer together. So tomorrow we're having sushi and watching episodes like 5 through 7 or something.
Nice.
Do you think you'd ever read the comics? Because they're like kind of a resurgence of those Buffy
comics.
Yeah, I think they're on all the digital Comixology,
really?
Right?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, some of them are supposed to be good.
Yeah.
For the lore, or I don't know, for the
could,
story.
You know.
Keep the world alive.
Yeah, I'm always, you know, skeptical of things that tend to try and push a story past its lifetime, because there's a story arc and there's sort of a lifetime of a show.
Right. Yeah,
once
yeah.
that's over, it's like you just got to let that go. Like
a good example that doesn't work with comics is Simpsons. Oh my goodness, those are terrible.
Those are really bad.
You're like, don't. No,
clearly
don't
not,
do
we
this.
Have enough of that. Clearly not the Simpsons writers in charge of the Simpsons comic book.
Let's talk about Natural Selection before I forget that as well.
Right.
Natural Selection 2.
Yeah, the first one came out 10 years ago.
Now, you've been beta testing this forever, right?
I've been playing for a while.
Yeah.
I played the original one back, I think came out in 2002 on Halloween. And it just so happened that in 2012 on Halloween, the Natural Selection 2 released.
Right. It's a Half-Life mod.
The original one was a Half-Life 1 mod.
Yeah, this
one's built on its own engine.
Oh, okay.
It's built up for customizing, modding. They built it with modding in mind. So there's people. It's on Steam.
I thought it was a Source thing. Okay.
No. They built it all themselves to be modded.
Right. So what's the general game?
So
I don't know what Natural Selection is, let's say.
So it's a first-person shooter meets real-time strategy. So think StarCraft meets, you know, any first-person shooter. So it's aliens versus Marines. One team plays as the aliens.
It's Halo.
Yeah, okay. Except the aliens are, I don't know.
They're more like the aliens in Alien, right?
More alien-ish.
So the basic alien can like run on the walls, run on the ceiling. They leap and bite. You actually have their viewpoint is through their mouth. I don't understand the lore there, but it's awesome.
No, they have an eye in the back of their
mouth. Exactly, it looks like that.
Looking through the teeth.
So you
it's
actually
like
go
Pan's
bite.
Labyrinth. Remember that with the hand and the eye?
Yeah.
Exactly like that, except in your mouth, which is grosser. And so, two teams are battling each other to take out their main command areas. One player from each team commands the team, so they can build structures, give orders. They get kind of a top-down view of the map, and so they collect resources, they get upgrades, and so each race has their own tech tree that you can kind of follow. And it's really well balanced. I mean, for a game that just came out on Halloween, it's almost 50-50 the win rate.
Well, that's pretty good. But they've been testing it forever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been in beta testing, I think, since like 2006. I forget. It got announced a long, long time ago, and it's just been in beta for like the last few years.
What does Natural Selection cost if I choose to?
I think it's $29.99.
$30.
It's well worth it. I commanded the other night, and I commanded an 84-minute game. Usually games last anywhere between 15 to 25 minutes.
Okay.
This game was super long, super epic, and it was just back and forth the entire time, and you get a lot of camaraderie out of that. You know.
What is...
There's no bad games.
Is there voice chat and stuff?
Yeah, in-game voice chat.
How does the mod stuff work? Like, how does it...
Steamworks. So basically, when you download the game, they have their own folder in the installation folder that has all their textures, all their basically everything they made or they have to make the game. and you can mess with it all you want. I don't know. I haven't done a lot of modding or anything, so modders know what they're doing. So you can build maps.
It'd be like 2 seconds before there's Minecraft all of a sudden. It'd be like a Minecraft,
Minecraft map. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
So they're remaking old maps. The best mod right now is that they added really awesome manly mustaches to all the Marines.
Oh.
Downloaded that one right away.
For like Movember. Movember.
Yeah, for Movember. Yeah, all right. That works too. Yeah, exactly. It's awesome. It makes them all look like Tom Selleck.
And, oh, that's badass.
So you just run around.
Actually, this should be a video game based on Tom Selleck.
Ooh.
That would be good.
Was it Magnum P.I., right?
Yes.
That game, like an 8-bit style with a car?
Well, wait, so did you play Saints Row the Third?
Yeah.
So with the
was there a bit,
Burt Reynolds?
I didn't get all the way to that. I didn't go too far.
You didn't get to Burt Reynolds?
No.
Burt Reynolds features prominently in that game.
Wow.
There you go.
I guess I'm going to go back and play it then.
He plays Burt Reynolds. He's like the... Is he the chief of police or something like that? He's something like that. And he becomes... You have a chance to sort of ally with him and stuff. But he is, in the game, Burt Reynolds.
Oh, my goodness.
That's
great.
Chief of police of Stillwater.
Can you kill Burt Reynolds?
No, I don't think you can.
I'm going to try.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with that mustache.
I know. I would just fight and attack his mustache, and it'll just like,
speaking
defense.
Of
that's where all his power lies. Yeah. Yeah.
Saints Row the Third, the humble THQ one. We'll go get it for like $5 or something.
Yeah, pay whatever you want.
Nice.
Yeah.
Let's talk about games, one more of them.
Okay.
And it's a Windows Phone 8 game.
Oh, yeah.
Which is interesting because there's not many games right now
still. There's not all that many.
And it's okay, though, because Windows Phone's great, so everybody just shut up. no one in here, no one in this room, just the general public.
Right.
So this is not like a great game by any stretch of the imagination. It's called Dragon's Blade, but what it is good at is being an old school RPG, like Final Fantasy or any of the other old school 8-bit RPGs.
Right.
It's just pretty much exactly that. You know, you get what you see.
Like the old sort of Super NES RPGs,
yep.
That kind of thing?
Yep.
Okay.
Super NES.
Achievements and stuff?
I didn't see any achievements yet. I feel like it's just like an encompassed, like it's an all-encompassed game.
Mm-hmm.
The only downfall is that it's really hard, kind of hard to see the words and the little items.
Huh.
Because they didn't really like push it out to kind of zoom in at all. Because I the whole time I want to feel like I want to just kind of pinch zoom in.
Yeah.
And you can't do that.
Is this a port? Was it on other...
No, I feel like this is a new title. I might be wrong with this, but I don't remember seeing this particular game. It's kind of like those ones on Xbox Live where, you know, you get like RPG Creator and you just an RPG. It feels like that. It feels kind of generic in that way. But when you're on the BART...
Right.
And you want to just play for a little while.
It kills time. Like,
oh, my goodness. It's like a Dragon Quest. You just get a bunch of gold and get a new upgrade and whatever. So besides it being small reading and the little letters and stuff like that and the icons, I think it's great for the train or the bus.
Did you mention how much it costs?
It is some money.
Oh. Okay.
And my notes here are incomplete.
Oh.
But I believe...
Something like $5 or something?
Oh, it's less than that.
Oh, okay. Oh,
okay.
If anything, it's either a dollar or three.
Oh, that's totally worth it.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
So for a commute person, and you have a Windows Phone, and you don't have any other like old school game, there you go. It's
cheap.
Called Dragon's Blade.
Yeah.
That's a good tip.
Cool. Pro tip, even.
Yeah.
Some might say.
Before we go, I wanted to quickly mention this site called SoundSlice, which we were talking before about Rocksmith, which is like the game that lets you, that like kind of teaches you how to play guitar and stuff. There, somebody came up with a site, it's at soundslice.com, that pairs up YouTube videos of people like playing songs of guitar with Guitar Tab underneath and syncs them up so that you can actually see how to play, you know, as you're reading the tab, and it kind of helps you learn to read tab. And there's like some speed controls and stuff, so you can slow it down and speed it up.
Yeah, cool. It doesn't plug in your guitar
great.
Or anything like that.
No,
like
there's
Rocksmith.
There's no actual. It's actually it's just a website. There's no interaction with your guitar or anything like that. But it actually lets you see what people are playing as you read through the tab, so you can kind of go, oh, that's how you do that. Like, you know.
That's a lot better than just reading tabs. Old
which
school.
Is no
if you're
fun.
Trying
doesn't
to,
help.
Yeah, no. If you're trying to figure it out, if you don't really know, or especially if the tab just is like really shorthand and just has like an E7 minor up there, and you don't know what an E7 minor is, you have to
when it comes in. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
when I was
timing
is everything.
Because
I would play it and be like, oh, if I just play it faster, that sounds like the song I was trying to do.
Right.
But if I play it like this and then G.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like anything.
That sounds bad.
Sounds like somebody practicing guitar.
I know.
And it's all community fed. It's basically people saying, you know, they're uploading a tab and they're uploading a video and kind of choosing how to sync it up. And then, you know, there's a whole bunch of videos on there.
So when I went to the site.
Like?
Oh, go ahead.
Oh.
Sorry?
What's the selection like? How many songs?
It's hard to say because there's not really I think it's officially in beta and there's not a lot of there's a search, but there's not a great way to search and select and stuff. It's kind of just pulling from the tab that's out there combined with the videos that people put on YouTube of themselves playing guitar covers of songs and stuff. So that's where they get all the stuff.
Yeah, when I went to the site, the song that was up was Super Mario Brothers.
So the guy
that's cool.
Like the guy who made the site has like a jazz guitar version of a Super Mario Brothers, and that's the default like sample song go. So, cool. So that's the one.
So check it out. It's Sound Slice.
Yeah.
You can slice the sounds. And by the way, that's their tagline. I just officially made it.
Work on it.
Mixed a Sound Slice together with a Rocksmith. And Jason Cross is going to be giving us one of his tracks at some point, and we're going to play it in the studio because we're going to force you to.
Because
if you're doing all these things to learn guitar,
right?
You got to bring us in something.
Well, I actually have to practice then.
Yeah.
And learn how to.
You brought us
the point of the game, right?
You brought us two things that teach you how to play guitar, so we want to have something.
So I actually have to do it now, which is the problem.
The fans demand it.
Ooh, a live concert.
No,
not live. It could be a.
Yeah, I have to bring in my guitar and stuff. I'll bring in a track or something.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hold you that.
Eventually.
Actually, one more thing. Intune Now is an app that I used over the break as well. It's kind of like Microsoft Glass, and it was for iOS.
Oh, you mean Smart Glass, you mean?
Microsoft Smart Glass, yes.
Yeah, okay.
There's so many glass things out there.
Yeah.
Google Glass and...
Drinking glasses.
Drinking glass.
One of those.
I got no other glass, actually. anyway, it's called Intune Now, and it does something like Shazam, where you hold up the app to the TV, and it listens to the program, and it tries to find it, and when it finds it, it populates it with information and cool stuff, Wikipedia, whatever.
Sure.
And it's got a chat room, and it's got things that people aren't using yet, you know?
Okay.
But the coolest thing, and this I think is going to be, I think the Wii U does this, which we haven't talked about the Wii U on this podcast ever, but it grabs... screenshots from the thing you're watching, and then it lets you caption them, like you know the funny little sayings that people do, the memes.
Yeah,
so you can literally just be whatever you're watching. You see a funny scene, like I was watching The Walking Dead, and I'm like, oh, I could totally do a scene right now with that zombie attacking, you know, that old lady.
Huh. It when you say it grabs, it's somebody else is grabbing screenshots. You're not taking pictures of your TV.
No, what it's doing, it's actually going off the programming. So this is for like live television or live-ish, for you know. And it says, oh, you're watching this, and it happens to be playing on TBS. My example, I was watching something that wasn't
right.
I was watching it on another channel, but it was playing it was grabbing the same kind of content for that.
It's grabbing it from somewhere on the web or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
But it was really close. Like, I was watching Home Alone actually, which I haven't seen since it came out.
It's the season. You can do that.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. Without feeling bad.
And then I was like, oh, that's totally right for making the little captions.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
By the way, I mentioned Walking Dead. I held it up to the TV. Walking Dead was happening. A zombie was just going. Ah! It said Walking Dead.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is pretty.
That's pretty good. Although, really, what other show would that be?
Ooh, I don't want to go there. I want to offend people.
you're like all the other crappy shows out there.
All right.
I guess so.
Yeah. I kind of like the Shazam-like aspect of that. I don't know anyone else doing that with TV.
No, but like I said, Wii U has something very similar to grabbing screenshots and stuff.
Well, so far, I haven't seen any that do that.
Yeah.
Like I've seen on, because I have a Wii U, and so far all it is.
Well, that thing's not launched yet, that TV thing, right?
And the TV thing doesn't pull screenshots from what you don't watch TV on the thing, or it's a remote control for your TV.
I saw something in some sort of press release that was that type of thing. Anyways, what I'm going to go back to what you just said is you heard it here first.
Yeah.
Intune Now. We're breaking news. There's no other apps like it.
All right.
What did we break news on earlier today?
Well, you said Skrillex Quest.
Skrillex Quest broke the first news.
That you have not heard of.
Never heard of it.
Before now.
We told you.
And
Intune Now.
And you know what? Space Team.
Space Team.
You guys didn't
never heard about it.
True that.
We're just breaking news. That's going to do it for the show,
We
people.
Should play Space Team on the podcast.
I was hoping you would do that. I was hoping you would say
that.
I downloaded it.
Oh, man. If I had known, we could do that.
Oh, Alex was ready to do it.
Yeah,
we can do it next podcast.
We'll all be ready. Maybe next week we'll do Christmas.
I'm going to
do that soon.
Space
It's soon we have to do Christmas.
Yeah.
Because Jason didn't do his job of hitting cool buttons that make sounds. I'm going to randomly push a button right now, and it's going to be this one.
Left. There you go.
Okay. Now is it recording?
Yeah, now it's recording.
Okay, so because Jason did a bad job of not hitting sounds on the soundboard, I'm going to press
a random
button and see what happens.
Yeah.
I did a good job.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's appropriate.
And with that, we'll thank our special guest, Amber Bowman.
Thank you.
Where can people find you on the Twitters?
At Dame Wright.
Dame, D-A-M-E.
R-I-G-H-T.
That's it.
Nice.
And then Alex Cuchillo.
Thanks for having me back again. Anytime, guys.
What's your Twitter?
At the BrownCoat88.
There you go.
Wait, what's the 88? I forgot. We asked you this, and I forgot.
I used to be a huge NASCAR fan, and I'm a huge Dale Earnhardt Jr. fan. He's number 88.
Ah, there we go.
So
okay.
I just started using that.
The brown coat, I remember it. Was Firefly.
Weirdly enough, my favorite number in the world, 88. We have a connection. Bros, we have a little connection.
88 bro connection.
Fist. Oh, can we actually do the fist? Okay.
There we go.
That's for your video people at home. Jason Cross is?
Jason Cross 00.
That's you. That's who you are.
Double Z.
Double Z.
Yeah, something.
And we have an email that we would like you to use.
Yeah.
We should give them a reason to use it, though, because people aren't just going to email.
Yeah.
So you win what?
I don't know. Whoa. We don't have anything.
Whoa.
Wait, what?
We have to like.
You win
that
free apps. You
can't
give our knowledge.
We have Ralph Wiggum here in the studio.
Oh, you're going to give away the Ralph?
We could give away the Ralph Wiggum.
How about a picture of Ralph so you don't actually have to give him away?
You can get
scam.
You get a digital photograph of Ralph Wiggum.
No value to that. Okay, let's just say if you email us at entertainment@techhive.com,
right,
you may win
right
Ralph Wiggum.
Okay,
that's it.
And a signed copy, a signed picture of Carlos.
Okay, and a signed picture of me and Ralph Wiggum. I mean, it would just be a signed picture of me crying because I had to give Ralph Wiggum.
That's right.
Okay.
You have to live with that listener.
Wait, that's a pretty good reason to email us.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
To make you cry.
I'm going to make our fake email address.
No, but you can't. You guys don't count.
Yeah, but it'll be a fake email address. You won't know it's us.
Oh.
Until I bring
I'll
it in
know it's
on
you.
The next podcast.
That's right.
It'll be the only email we get.
You
and you're like,
this? Mm. Yeah,
that'd be great. Okay, I will seriously do that.
Okay.
A picture of me crying and giving away my Ralph Wiggum to you if you want to email us at entertainment@techhive.com.
Okay.
With that, we should have a catchphrase at the end, huh?
Nah.
Do you want to do a Ralph just catchphrase?
That's perfect.
How about thanks for listening? And
okay, bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Although, I'm going to argue that it does work now, thinking about that. Turn page
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it really stood. I'm like, what the hell is that?
Did you hear that one episode where I just did applause after every guest?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, I'll just add applause. All right,
yeah.
Let's do the show.
I have.
There you go. See, you need. Wait, last episode, no buttons.
I know. We had a couple of sample sounds.
I know, but yeah. I mean, I want like funny doohickeys going on.
Yeah,
I'm not.
I'm not paying attention. Is my problem.
He's got to do funny buttons. So
I need to pay attention.
It's a lot of power.
Yeah,
responsibility.
But you're alpha. Come on.
It's just hard to make.
Or alpha
we should
omega,
switch.
Right?
You should do the board.
I should do the board. What the hell's going on?
Okay.
Hey, you know what you should do is you just flip it around, and I'll just hit a button at random.
Ooh.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Okay, I don't.
Keep working.
Because what happens if I do this?
Oh.
That was actually perfect.